You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Approval in as quickly as 2 hours. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello and welcome to Dwayne's World. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening around the beautiful planet of ours. Dwayne's World for On Deck Business Loans up to $250,000. And it is Midday Madness time. If you're joining us for the first time, Midday Madness, you call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise. Anything in the world of sport you'd like to discuss, we'll get you on for the next 2 hours. So the number, put it in your phone. Anytime you think of, I've got to get someone on the radio about that, it's getting my goat. 1-300-736-736 is the number, and that's brought to us by Werribee Kia. The biggest ever EV sale is on now at Werribee Kia. Drop down and see the team, David, Janan, Aid, and the team. But your calls are the priority for Midday Madness. As always, heap of stuff that I'd like to get to. On the lunch menu for Barclays Smokehouse, ask for grandmother ham at your local deli. Sammy Edmund with the latest news after two. James Rowbottom from the Swans after the 2 o'clock news. So there's still plenty to get out of this whole Essendon Edge scenario because we've got the tribunal appearance tonight anyway for Peter Wright, but also we've got the Max King appearance tonight, or the challenge tonight, so plenty to get to on that agenda. Brodie Smith's going to join us as well ahead of his 250th game for the Crows. And Melbourne United coach Dean Vickerman is also having a chat to us. So there's a bit to get to with Dean, given how exciting the loss was and the win was on Sunday and what might transpire down in Tassie on Thursday, hoping for Melbourne United fans to get a game five for that best of five series in the NBL Grand Final series. Oh, and Simon Hill also to join us on the Barclay lunch menu as well. So ask for grandmother ham at your local deli. So the world game on the agenda. So your calls for the next 2 hours until all that. 1-300-736-736. The tribunal tonight, I've just been talking with Jared and I had a text here on it. The Nick Hind, quite often on this show, we have people ring up and say, you've got to suspend the action, not the outcome. The Nick Hind incident, as I mentioned with Jared, is the perfect one that we didn't get to yesterday, but I wanted to get to it yesterday. The lines were just full for 2 hours, but his faked elbow punch is the perfect example why we don't suspend the action. I mean, it didn't look good. It was a little warning throw out. It was a silly one that he threw out, but it went nowhere near connecting. It wasn't actually an attempted strike, even though some people wanted to call it that. So, yeah, that's the last thing we're going to be doing is suspending guys for doing what Nick Hind did. But if you've got a contrary view to that, by all means, send it through like this one here. Pipe, sorry, mate, but obviously you've never been in the position or situation where you have thrown an elbow like Nick Hind did. He was moving at full speed and Warner stopped in his tracks after kicking. Hind was anticipating that Warner would continue into his path and he would have cleaned him up, if not far off, broken a jaw if there was connection. Come on, Dwayne. I don't think Hind was intending to hit him at all with the elbow. I think it was a fake punch. Hind was thrown out as a mess around, hey, look what I could do, but you know I'm not going to do it. So, no, I don't want that ever to be a suspension. So just put me in the don't suspend the action book if we can. Let's suspend mainly based on whether the action connects and causes some damage. Tom and Berwick, we're coming to you. David in Australia, I see. We're coming to you first up. Carl in Rossborough Park and also Ahmed in Port Cook is on the line. David, in Dingley, we'll also get to you. So many callers coming through. David, we'll start with you. You want to talk the Saints and Pies game? Welcome to you.
Yeah, Dwayne. I
Post-game, after the Saints game on Thursday night, my 24-year-old son and myself went in. We had one of the best nights of footy we've ever had. Saints supporters and just, you know, hugging each other, ecstatic the way the team played. But what really ticks me off is that ever since that game was played, every post-match report, AFL 360 on the couch, some... I think Andy and Andy in the Arbos. I know Jared certainly. It's just everything has been about what's wrong with Collingwood. What's going on with Collingwood? Collingwood, Collingwood, Collingwood. And you think, hang on. There was another team out in the ground there and we won the game. It was almost like Collingwood were playing an intra-club practice match. And all that was ever mentioned, AFL 360 last night, they covered the game for about the first 10 minutes, and I don't think they mentioned St Kilda once. It was all about poor old Collingwood. What are we going to do about Collingwood? Do you get that feeling?
No, because I've done the opposite, David. I don't know. Have a listen to the Friday's podcast, but we opened with Ross Lyon's pre-game address on Fox Footy. So we opened with Ross Lyon's pre-game chat to Fox Footy on the Thursday night game on Friday, where he explained how he was going to dismantle Collingwood. And then we... then went on to play Ross Lyon's post-game press conference where he explained how it all unfolded and why it worked against Collingwood, and him telling the world that the world has had a chance to look at Collingwood during the finals and work them out. So I think on Friday, if you haven't listened to the Friday show, it was pretty much all St Kilda the first half hour celebrating the fact that they were great, and I came on and said their coach was a genius. That was my opener. And that it was the best thing the Saints ever did was get Ross Lyon. So I don't feel like it's been... all about the Pies, but I've been in the media a long time, David. I know that Collingwood sell papers. So have you got anything with Collingwood on it? You know, Josh Dacos went to the F1, click, it'll get 100,000 clicks. You know, all the Collingwood stuff will get clicks. The Saints don't quite bring the clicks. So that's the way the media works. If you want coverage, if you want viewers, if you want the clicks, then you do open with a Collingwood issue if you can. So that's probably why most people have done it. But it's a little bit different on the show because I'm lucky enough to have calls. Well, we've pretty much got a full board today. Ahmed, Tom, you, Carl and Ross Prepark to start with. So it's not like I have to manufacture something that's just going to get calls rattling. Otherwise, I'd probably do the same. Hey, Collingwood, is it over? I'd play Jonathan Brown from last night saying Collingwood's window's shut and they're done. Their era's done. It's all over. I could probably start with that cage rattler for Collingwood. But the beauty is we can talk about other stuff on this show because it's relevant to the people that are calling, as you have called. Carl and Roxburgh Park's called about Peter Wright. Welcome to you, Carl.
Hi, Duane. You're probably over talking about the Peter Wright incident yesterday and all that.
No, Carl, I'm never over-talking anything, to be honest, especially when it's a tribunal case that's on tonight and we'll be talking about it tomorrow.
That's great, then. That's great. So I just wanted to ask you something. So if Peter Wright spoiled the ball or got a finger to the footy but put his knee still and potentially probably still concussed Cunningham, is it all good? Like, no problem?
Yeah, so, Carl, the basic premise of footy is that you play the ball. And if you play the ball, 100% eyes on the ball, 100% trying to take possession of the ball, and you accidentally make contact with someone else, then that's part of the game, Carl, and it's an accident. Accidents will happen. So, yeah, Peter Wright, if he took the mark and he still concussed Harry Cunningham whilst taking the mark, they're would not likely have been anything to answer for his concussion. It would have been a collision in the process of taking a mark that was accidental.
Now, just looking at it, split-second stuff, it's a fast-paced game, and we're trying to make the game faster, you know. So I reckon he should just get max 2 weeks. You know? Like, I don't see how he can get possibly 3 to 4 to 5 that people will say.
Yeah, so, Carl, let me just explain that to you, because we had a call on Jared Waitley's program earlier today talking about the same stuff. If you don't play the ball, then it changes everything. So the moment you stop attempting to get the ball, that's when everything changes when it comes to the assessment of the incident.
I get you, but I just don't understand, like, how can a massive bloke like Peter Wright just stop playing the ball? Like, he's in the air, he's about to take the chest mark, Cunningham comes, fair enough, Cunningham, you want to be a defender, you want to come in, but you're also putting yourself at risk. Like, you know, like, a big man's coming. So he's putting himself at risk, split-second stuff, it's an accident, it wasn't malicious. So, for me, I know it's all about the head stuff and all. I don't know, maybe junior levels, no one wants to play footy anymore or something, so they're trying to get rid of the concussion protocol. But just tonight, I just really hope he gets 2 weeks, to be honest. Like, I'll feel bad for him if he gets 4 to 5.
Appreciate your call, Carl. We'll see what happens tonight. I don't think he'll get 5, but he might only get 2 or 3. We'll have to watch and see what it does tonight to the agenda for the future going forward when a player does brace for contact instead of continue on to take a mark that could have been taken by him. Tom and Berwick, you've been holding a while. Welcome to you, Tom.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Yesterday, Tom Morris broke the news that there were 2 AFLW players caught with illicit substance during the off-season.
Yeah.
It got me thinking, is the AFLW and AFL drug policy the same?
In terms of the strike procedure, and so no one knows exactly who gets a strike and who doesn't get a strike and who's got strikes anymore, Tom. We don't get that information given to us, but I think the strike policy is the same for both. The same thing that will get you a strike against your name in the AFLW will get you a strike against your name in the AFL men's, yes.
Okay, no, I'm not bringing up to bash anybody or have a go at the women,
yeah.
The women's game. The AFLW is coming so far, and I actually like watching the game. I was literally just curious because it's something that hasn't happened before. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there's so many layers to the drug situation. When did you take it? Was it in your system game day? Was it in your system during the week? When did you get found to have had it in your system? Was it found in your possession as opposed to found in your system? Completely different set of parameters there as well. Police find it and you're charged. They add the trafficking word to it as well. That elevates it because how much are you found with? There's so many different layers to the drug situation, but on its basic level, yeah, a strike gets recorded against your name the same way in the AFLW as it does with the AFL men's. Armin in Point Cook, you've been holding, I think you're on the line from midday, or maybe a minute to midday. I want to talk Jack McRae. Welcome to you, Armin.
Good afternoon, Duane. Yes, the situation about Jack McRae is out of favour. If he didn't get a game time throughout the season, if I was him, I'd be looking at playing in a different club. Should he play a different club?
I think so, Ahmed. If he doesn't get a game all year and he keeps getting 40-plus possessions in the reserves, they've got a couple of good players coming through. Riley Sanders looks good. Gallagher looks good, Ahmed, and they're getting a game ahead of him at the moment. But things can change as well. It's only early in the season, so he might get back into that team and all of a sudden re-establish himself and gets played every week and ends up having a good final series, and the whole world can change, Ahmed. But at this stage, right now, he's not getting a game. He's getting 40-plus possessions in the twos. You'd have to suggest that at the end of the year, if that keeps happening, he leaves.
Yes, that's the reason, yeah, because he was getting a 40 touches. And, look, I do hope he gets back into the side. And, like, if he continues, like, Bevo should, consider awarding him. Should he, Dwayne?
If he keeps getting that kind of number in the twos?
Yeah.
It depends on how, Ahmed, as well, how he's playing. So he might be sent out to do a job. He might be sent out to, hey, I need you to get 40 possessions in the twos. That very rarely happens. So it also depends on how he's getting them and the position he plays. So he wouldn't replace, say, Tom Liberatore, for example. If Tom Liberatore doesn't get that amount of possessions in the ones, but he's getting clearances, then you're not going to replace Tom Liberatore with Jack McRae. If you believe that Riley Sanders is on an improvement curve that's continuing to skyrocket, you're not going to drop Riley Sanders for him this week either, because the long-term future of and Riley Sanders' development has been something that's been, I think, first and front of mind for the Dogs over the off-season. So it depends on the circumstance in club, and that's where it always is difficult for people like me or all of us as commentators to try and work out why or why not, because we're guessing we're not in club land.
Yes. Like, yes, correct. Riley Sanders, he was solid, and he's going to be a great player for the Bulldogs, and because I can see the young midfielders are getting a game time. But yes, like if he was to get selected, he can't replace Liberatore because he's a still good player too, Dwayne.
Appreciate your call, Ahmed. I'm glad you're talking Dogs. They need to be talked about. It's a bit like the caller we had on Collingwood earlier on. Why is everybody only talking Collingwood? Some of the things that we need to talk about involve some of the clubs that are a little off-Broadway sometimes. And let's face it, Ballarat can be off-Broadway, but it was a delight to be there calling that one on the weekend. Here's Luke Beveridge on Sunday on Jack McRae's possible return this week. This is in the post-match press conference when everybody knew that McRae had dominated in the twos.
The temptation was there, but you know, for Harvey and Riley Sanders, to players, the supporting act, they'd really earn it. They'd done extremely well. And as I've said, Jack is still in a build, and today at VFL levels, and probably enough evidence that he's, you know, he's pretty ready to step up. So, you know, there's no doubt he'd be considered, and there'd be a big chance to come in. So we'll work out what the shuffle is, because of the five inside mids who played through there, you know, none of them did anything wrong. So it becomes a bit of a team balance type decision as well.
Pretty much sums it up. Becomes a team balance situation, and who do you kick out if you're trying to get him in? And they were impressive on the weekend, the Dogs. Hey, need to take a break. 1-300-736-736, the open line number. Midday Matters for 2 hours. You call, you get on. That's the Midday Matters promise. Got a heap of stuff to give away again today in the opening hour, including a grandmother ham valued at $80 thanks to Barclays Smokehouse. So we've got that to give away thanks to the good people at Barclays Smokehouse as part of our Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu, which includes Sammy Edmund, James Rowbottom, Brody Smith, and Dean Vickerman and Simon Hill, all after 1:30. We've got 18 holes of golf for you and a mate with a card down at Club Mandalay. And our caller of the day wins, as they've been winning the last couple of weeks, a pink lemonade voucher for food and drinks valid at $130. Whatever game's on, play starts at Pink Lemonade, Swan Street, Richmond. Back to your calls and your texts after the break on Dwayne's World.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Straight back to your calls for Midday Madness. 1-300-736-736, the open line number. Midday Madness for work, Locker, Karen Downs and Pakenham. Work where for, wherever you work. Heap of texts coming through on various things. I'll read a heap of your texts out, but it's Talkback Radio. I'd rather have a chat to you. The text machine number, by the way, 0433981116, and it's brought to us by 40 Winks and Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, mattresses and pillows like no other. You can check out the Temper range at your local 40 Winks. Should check out the text machine every now and then. It's a wild thing, the text machine. Sometimes I don't read them all out, obviously. I do read every one. Sometimes I just decide not to read some stuff out because it's very extreme. I'll read this one out if you like. And you can make your own assessment as to whether I should have read it out or not, because it's an interesting one. Dwayne, Rob from Point Cook. I remember playing in the Colac area in the 80s. We would shake each other's hand at the start of the match with one hand and punch each other with the other hand. The game's too soft. So that's from Rob, who believes the game's too soft. I'm not sure that we'd like the game to be played like that in the burbs anymore, but Rob's missing it. Another one here. The reason why nobody's talking about St Kilda is because they are an irrelevant club. Collingwood has won the same amount of flags in the past 12 years than St Kilda have in their history. Thank you for that. There's a lot of texts that come through. I hate the game and poking stuff at other clubs. I often don't read it, but there's a little slice of it from today so far. Dwayne, that Essendon supporter who just rang in, is absolutely deluded if he thinks that Wright was playing the ball. He was playing the ball until he wasn't. And another one here. Dwayne, do you have George Wardlaw on today? You usually chat to the Rising Star Norm the next day. George is on the program tomorrow. But if you didn't hear the Nick Larkey interview yesterday and you're a North fan, check that out on the podcast. So there's one interview that I've ever done that I think is worth listening back to. It's the chat with Nick Larkey yesterday. He was a riot. Steve in Melton, as we head back to your calls, and John in Norwood's been waiting for an eternity. John, I better get to you. You've been holding across the ad break as well. Welcome to you, John.
Hi, Dwayne. Yeah, just with the Adelaide Footy Club, their game style at the moment, well, they're not taking the game on, and I know you got Smith coming up a bit later. Like, he hasn't got near it for 2 weeks. How can they pick players who haven't been near the ball for a couple of weeks? You know, it amazes me. Like, their game style, they're fit, but they're just not taking the game on.
So depth is an issue sometimes, John. If you've got the West Coast Eagles example, they've got Gaff, who they wanted to play round one because they didn't feel like they had any young guys or depth guys that would be better than him, and it was a mistake. Gaff hardly touched it. They had to sub him out early in the game, and it didn't have any impact on the game at all. But if they had depth, they probably wouldn't have played him. Darling's in that situation at the moment for the West Coast. They've got no one else, so they kind of have to play Darling, and you feel like Darling knows that they have to play him. So what's the depth like with the Adelaide Crows, John? The other thing is, and Nathan Buckley touched on this morning, normally if you lose round one, you back your players in to get it to bounce back. And if you lose round two, you back your players in to bounce back. But if you lose round three, you start to have a think about, well, should I be backing my players to bounce back? So we might be getting to that stage with Adelaide right now, John. He's had faith in the regular guys now, but that could be about to turn.
Well, I hope so. At least Ross Lyon, I'll take my hat off to Ross. You know, he dropped a top five player last year for his side, Brad Crouch, and look what it did. It must send a message straight through the group.
Yeah, when you've got depth, you can do it. But sometimes you just need a coach with the intestinal fortitude to make that call, John. And Matthew Nix is caught between a rock and a hard place right now. He's just been re-signed as coach, lost the first couple of games. And, you know, I can see them getting to round six or even seven without a win. So they better start turning things around quickly. Otherwise, it'll all start to snowball on itself. Wins change everything. And hopefully Brodie Smith, who's going to join us in the next hour, will tell us exactly why they haven't been winning. Steve in Melton, welcome to you, Steve.
Yeah, hey, Dwayne. I was just listening to the Craig McRae's press conference before, and I've, you know, watching the shows last night. Nothing's been mentioned on Collingwood's draw to start the season. They've had 3 6-8 breaks in a row, coming off the shortest pre-season in history with the opening round. They've played up until round eight. It is they play six of the last year's finalists. And the first time they get a 7-day break, they've got to travel to bloody Brisbane. But just we'll ease up. We'll see what they're like after at the midway point of the year. If they're still no good, then we can all write them off. But I think the people are jumping the gun at the moment.
Steve, got a Dwainsworth t-shirt coming your way. I'm not one of these guys who's written Collingwood off, no good anymore, can't win the flag. I'm of the belief that they've had a tough run early on this season. They had some luck in the last couple of years where they won some close ones. Yeah, they were great because they had the game style to win the close ones. But, you know, when you're winning the close ones because you're 4 or 5% better than the other team, and then all of a sudden you start a season and you're 4 or 5% off, then you're going to lose those games. I'm with you, Steve. I'm not writing Collingwood off. In fact, if you give me the choice right now, at the end of this year, to have Collingwood, who finished 8th, playing Essendon 5th in that elimination final, or the Gold Coast finished 5th, in that elimination final. Guess who I'm picking, Steve?
Oh, 100%. They've got a finals game, a game style. They've always had that finals game style. Look, I just think that I think people are jumping the gun. When your stars are at that 2% off, you know, that 2-5% yeah. off, and you're playing, you know, sides who have got experience like GWS, Sydney, St Kilda, and they're that 5% better than what they were last year, you start to look a little bit slow, but they're just... I think it's a long season and we can build into it.
Great to have your call, Steve. Hold the line. Dwainsworth t-shirt coming your way. I'll play you a little bit of Jonathan Brown. See, Collingwood might not win another flag with this group. That's okay. They've won one. And sometimes, well, they're really hard to win. You've had clubs that have had great eras. Geelong under the Blight era, I know firsthand. I mean, 4 grand finals, no flags. You can have an era where you've got a run of greatness and a great list. You just don't win the flag you probably deserve to win in that time. Collingwood's at least won one. Is their era over in terms of can't play finals this year and at least put some pressure on to win the flag? I don't think that it's over in that realm. They might not win another flag, yes, but can they play finals and still be a finals team this year? I think they can. Here's Jonathan Brown from the couch last night saying that this little period of dominance might be done.
And is the Pies era over? I think it is. I think it is. This era of players, this group of players, right. I think it's coming to the end. These are the veterans, Sidebottom, Pendlebury, Howe. You can include Mitchell in there as well.
Crisp
in there as well. You've seen Sidebottom missing kicks, starting to fumble all the time. Pendles going big chunks of time without touching the football. Mm. All of a sudden, the game starts to look like it's quickened up for Scott Pendlebury. When for 15 years, he's made the game slow down. The names are still on the magnets, but these players are past their prime.
It's hard to stay up forever. Richmond couldn't do it. They've dropped after their three premiership era. Geelong hasn't been able to do it, but they might be on the bounce back really quickly. So, yeah, Collingwood, their premiership winning might be done, but I still think they're a finalist this year. Janine, Pat, we'll get to you straight after the break. It's news time. Straight back to your calls and your texts for Midday Madness. A couple of texts on the way to your calls. Pipe, as always, with these issues. 2 metre Peter, please ask callers to identify their club before commenting. The bias is so obvious and totally distorts their opinion. But that's the beauty of Midday Madness. You get a chance to have your opinion and you don't have to agree with everybody's opinion. But you call, you get on to give your opinion on your club, which is a club that you watch religiously. And it's good to have so many people into footy right now, as far as they're into it. Wasn't a fan of Caro's arrow last night. Craig McRae was doing what a lot of coaches do in trying to direct the pressure onto himself to possibly ease some pressure off his players. Just because he didn't praise St Kilda doesn't make it egotistical. I think Craig has enough credits in the bank for Caro to keep her arrow in her quiver. I love Caro's arrow. I love Footy Classified. It's a must watch. So, yeah, I watched it last night. I don't agree with everything Caro says and all the stories that she comes up with sometimes don't end up being true, but she's got a great strike rate. You know, 80-odd percent end up being true. She's had a great strike rate in the last couple of years, especially the Damien Hardwick story about going to the Gold Coast Suns, or Stuart Dew at least being sacked by the Suns, etc. So it's still must watch, and every now and then she has an arrow that people don't agree with, but it's still fun to watch. Dwayne. He's not saying you're the one saying the poor Collingwood narrative. He asked if you feel like the other media and AFL shows are doing just that. Not blaming you, but blaming the other media outlets for their Collingwood-centric coverage. Again, that's what the media does. It's about clicks. It's about stories that get read. I mean, do you really expect the mainstream media to be writing stories about clubs that are of a low base in terms of their supporter base in comparison to Collingwood? A Collingwood story, especially when they're reigning premiers, is a big story. And when they're not reigning premiers, it's still a big story. So that's just what we do, and I'm part of it. Absolutely. Daniel in Wallet, welcome to you, Daniel. You've got a thought on Jonathan Brown's comments about Collingwood. Welcome to you.
Yeah, how are you, Dwayne? Yeah, back to last year when Collingwood lost to Hawthorn, Jonathan Brown, on Monday night, he also wrote the prize off then as well, and he said they're done. So I wouldn't really take that bloke too serious, what he says on the couch. Champion footballer, but his comments on football are not the best.
Thanks for your call, Daniel. So just on Jonathan Brown's comments and my comments and this show and the way the media works, we're all going to get one wrong sometimes. And when you've got an outlet like I have where you're on air every day for 3 hours, sometimes you say things and you think, actually, that's going to come back to haunt me. That's probably not right. I probably should have thought that through a bit more. So, yeah, Jonathan Brown's great. I love Brownie. I love the couch. It's a must-watch as well. Has he got this one right? Well, in the end, he might. They might not win another flag. One here on Collingwood as well. Shane from North Haven. You won't read this out, but are you serious, Dwayne? Giving a shirt to a Collingwood supporter having a whinge? He did nothing but complained and moaned about their draw. I guarantee he won't be complaining when it becomes easier. Thanks for your text as well. Yeah, I did give him a Collingwood shirt, but it was more to reinforce the fact that I don't think Collingwood's done this year. Pat in Melton, welcome to you, Pat.
G'day, Dwayne. I've just got 2 points to make. The first one is, and please don't take this the wrong way, but I just think sometimes you there's just an Essendon bias in what you say. Like, to even raise Essendon in the Collingwood conversation, if Essendon finished fifth and Collingwood finished eighth, you'd back in Collingwood. Like, why would you be saying that against Essendon? I don't understand. And it's just something that comes through in your commentary consistently, this anti-Essendon bias. But anyway, that's my first point.
So you think I'm anti-Essendon with my commentary on the show as well?
Just in general. I just find it. And just wanted to just bring up one other thing too from the entire Essendon community, that Andrew from Nidri is not... like, some of the stuff that he brings up is just in complete polar opposite to what every other Essendon supporter feel or think. So he's by no means sort of an advocate for Essendon supporters. The last thing, which is the main reason for my call, I'm fascinated by this particular situation. With when you look at Hawthorn's list, and I know I'm not a Hawthorn supporter and I'm not ringing up to bag Hawthorn, but when you look at their list, I'll say from the outset, Nick Watson is going to be a star. He's going to be an absolute star small forward. I've got no doubt about that. But if you look at the circumstances of what they had at their avail when they went to the draft, there was Riley Sanders, who in my view is going to be an absolute superstar for many, many years to come. He's slotted straight into that. He's keeping McRae out of the Western Bulldogs side currently. Now, surely to goodness, you would think that Hawthorn, looking at their list profile, if Newcombe gets injured, you only have to look at the issues when Day's gone down at the start of the season. Why would they not have selected Riley Sanders? I just, for the life of me, cannot work out the logic at all.
Because teams get selections wrong at the draft table, Pat. Sometimes you get them wrong. Now, you don't know if you got them wrong until 4 years down the track. And we've talked about that quite a bit in the Essendon conversation. So 4 years ago, you got Perkins, Cox, and who was the other one you got in that three?
Look, have you forgotten about Hobbs, Durham? Like, there's multiple.
I'm not Andy Essendon with this statement, Pat. I'm just asking you, 4 years ago in the draft, when you got the three players at picks 7, 8, and 9, we talked about the fact that in 4 years' time, we'll know if those picks all end up being great. And Perkins looks like he's on a great track now. Cox looked like he was better on the weekend. If you get three players in the top 10, all to become 250-game stars, and it changes your club completely. You sound like that was a, I'm having a whack at Essendon. I'm saying you're going to be good if you get three picks in the top 10 right, and you're going to be bad if you get three top 10 picks wasted.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I just think the list profile at Hawthorn, if you look at their list profile and what was needed at the club, and the fact that they were crying out for high-end picks to really change the direction of the club, they've picked up Ginnivan in the off-season. I just don't understand the law. But look, I could be wrong. I just thought that would be a massive, massive move for the club to get Riley Sanders in. But that's probably why I'm not a list manager. But I'd love to hear other people's views on it and your view on it.
Well, my view is after two games, you can't say who's going to be a good and bad pick out of that draft. That's my view. I think it's way too early. I think you do have to wait 4 years. And that's why we are assessing guys like Jamari Ugal-Hagen, Riley Thilthorpe, etc., who are 4 years into the system. So, yeah, my thoughts are, even 2 years ago, Aaron Cabman picked one, Will Ashcroft picked two, Harry Sheasel picked three, George Wardlaw picked four, Elijah Sardis picked five, Bailey Humphrey picked six, Cam McKenzie picked seven, Jai Clark picked eight, Ruben Jimby picked nine, Mateus Filippo picked 10. There's your top 10 last year. We're only really starting to work out how good that top 10 is now, because we've seen a year of those players. We've only seen two games of the last year's draftees. Great to have you call, Pat. Really appreciate it. Janine, we'll come to you straight after this. You're with Dwayne's World.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Approval in as quickly as 2 hours. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Midday Madness for Work Locker, Karen Downs, and packing and workwear for wherever you work. Janine, thanks for holding. Welcome to you.
No problem, Dwayne. Good to chat to you. I know this is an opinion-based. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But one opinion I can't cop is supporters from other clubs, like the Texter before, saying that St Kilda was irrelevant. I find that really offensive. Look, it could be tongue-in-cheek, but I just, you know, they've got a rich history. Yeah, of course, they haven't won premierships that they want to win, but that's not for lack of trying. And I just find that so disrespectful to say that about another club.
Appreciate your call, Janine. Thanks for holding. By the way, hold the line. We've got a grandmother ham coming your way thanks to Barclays Smokehouse. And it's good to have Barclays Smokehouse. Ask for it. They're Barclays Smokehouse grandmother ham at your local deli. Thanks for holding. It is interesting. When we started this show up years ago, Mitch and I, who's on the buttons, we talked about the fact that we don't want it to turn into 2 hours of people ringing up and saying Collingwood fans have got no teeth and all that kind of stuff. We wanted to at least have some good discussion. Still get a lot of texts sort of bagging other fans, and I don't read them all out. Every now and then I do read one or two out, Janine, and every now and then we have some people ring up and bag other fans for fun. But I think in the whole, the general footy discussion is a little bit more out of the gutter than that, which is great. That's why I love it. But it does descend every now and then to that, which is also giving me an understanding of there is still that element of footy barracking out there where you just hate another club that much that you move to send a text to say how much you hate them. John in Port Augusta, you've been holding a while. Welcome to you, John.
Hi, Dwayne. Yeah, there's only one club I can't stand. You know that.
Right. I do know that, John.
Don't worry,
you want to talk Matthew Nicks?
Yeah, when's the bloke to it? You know I've banged on that for a while, Dwayne.
Yeah.
He's a great bloke. He's a terrific bloke. Everyone acknowledges that. But he's too nice, mate. He's too nice a bloke. When's the bloke to it going to go on him?
And well, let's just put on the agenda firstly, John. You were the first person ever to put a blowtorch on him, but I think there's a few standing alongside you with blowtorches right now, John.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to say about the Melbourne Football Club coach. You know I'm a poor man. I grew up, I've followed footy all my life. I've followed sport all my life. That's why I get annoyed with some Crows supporters who just jumped on the highest level, all the rest of it. But another matter. I like the Melbourne football culture. I really do. There's a lot of clubs I have a soft spot for in Victoria now. I don't mind Essendon. I don't mind Hawthorn. How can you like Essendon and Hawthorn? Anybody who grew up in the early to mid-80s knows the rivalry there between Alan Jeans and Kevin Sheedy and whatever else and Hawthorn and Essendon. But just the way I feel, I mean, I think the sporting culture in Melbourne is a little bit different. Would you agree with that, Dwayne?
Yeah, I do, but I think it's different because there's more teams to barrack for. It's a more of a melting pot of people barracking for various teams. Adelaide and WA, and I've lived in Adelaide, lived there for the first 21 years of my life. It was great. It's a great footy town. They're both footy states to the point that I think there's, per capita, there's less people in South Australia and WA who don't follow football than there are in Victoria. There's pockets of Victoria where people aren't really that interested in footy. But at least in Victoria, there's more clubs to spread across the narrative. And I think that's a good thing for Victoria's footy culture. I think it's one of the reasons why a lot of people love living here that come from other states. Thanks for your call. Hey, Dwayne, no Saints in your top five wins for this week. Adam, yeah, I think they've written that up online. So just as a writer for the top five every Monday that I do, I don't include Thursday night's winner. Because it's Thursday night's game when we normally address that on Friday. So that's why I haven't put them in my top five for the weekend's footy. Dwayne, so the Essendon edge doesn't extend to supporters, so thin skin. Thank you. And a few calls on that. Dwayne, you're not anti Essendon. You're positive about all the teams. Quite a few. Essendon bias, Dwayne. Your scenario that you painted had Essendon finishing fifth. Yeah, that's right, it did. I think most Essendon supporters would take that in a heartbeat. That Essendon fans, it's extremely precious. Yeah, I did paint a scenario where Essendon finished fifth and made the finals of all things. There you go. Jack and Sandringham will come to you straight after the break. You at Dwayne's World and Midday Madness. 1-300-736-736. Dwayne's World for on-deck business loans up to $250,000.
On-deck business loans for up to $250,000. Funding possible the same business day. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
A couple of texts that have come through. One here, Dwayne, disagree with that caller about the Hawks and Watson. Hawks also need a forward too. You can't pick everyone. Sean from Perth. Yeah, it's too hard to tell whether he's going to be better or not than Riley Sanders, but at least it's a debate out there because we're seeing these kids early in their careers. We're getting a chance to see these kids in the opening rounds, which is great. Dwayne, isn't the Essendon edge dinosaur stuff prehistoric? That's from Anton. I'm on the record, and I'll stay on the record as liking the Essendon edge. I've always liked having a mantra to play by. I like the fact that we had North Ball thrown out earlier this year, so we can watch North play North Ball. It's good to have a way of measuring your team. How do they want to play? Okay, let's watch and see how you're playing it, and are you playing that way? So we'll all watch Essendon now to see if they're playing with the Essendon edge. We've always watched North Melbourne to see if they play with a shinboner spirit. We've always watched the Swans to see if they play with their Bloods culture. I mean, they had a no-D-heads policy for a while, the Swans. So when they threw that out there, we're all watching to see, okay, who have you recruited and how you're behaving off-field because they had that policy. So I like the Essendon edge, and I'm going to like it all year, I reckon. Jack in Sandringham, thanks for holding. Jack, welcome to you.
G'day, Pipe. Just a quick one. I think SEN have missed a bit of a marketing trick this week. Why haven't we got Johnny from Epping and Margaret in Sunbury facing off ahead of Good Friday?
Maybe we should get them together, Jack. I'll have a chat to the producers and get that on the agenda. That's a great idea. Two of the favourites, the all-time favourites. In fact, we could give Margaret and John their own show for 3 hours. What if I just knock off and don't do the show Friday? We'll hand it over to them.
I like that idea. Also, Pipe, yeah, if you haven't given it away yet, I really want to try Pink Lemonade.
All right, I'll have a chat to my producer and see if we've got a spare one for you, Jack. I appreciate your call. Our caller of the day, by the way, wins a pink lemonade voucher for food and drinks valued at $130. Whatever game is on, play starts at Pink Lemonade, Swan Street, Richmond. Keep your calls coming through. Keep your texts coming through. Still on the Barclay Lunch House menu. Brodie Smith, Adelaide Star defender, playing game 250. He's going to join us. He might need to join us out of the 1 o'clock news, so we might need to get to him next. Sammy Edmund with the latest news. Dean Vickerman, coach of Melbourne United, he's going to join us. So there's a stacked lunch menu for us. Keep your texts coming through as well. 0433 98 11 16. The unsociable Hawks is another mantra that I like. I mean, I think we're all watching now to see if the footy is fun Collingwood is going to continue to be a fun thing to watch with Craig McRae under this pressure. More after the break.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Funding possible the same business day. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. We'll head back to your calls very shortly. That open line brought to us by Werribee Kia. That number 1300 736 736, for more Midday Madness very shortly. The Werribee Kia open line is open. You can jump on it now. But Brodie Smith is about to have a chat to us. Sammy Edmund to join us a little bit later on. Dean Vickerman also to join us. And Simon Hill. So it's a full Barclay Smokehouse lunch menu today. The Adelaide Crows have got a big one this weekend. Fremantle, Good Friday, Brodie Smith's 250th AFL game. And he joins me on the line. Brodie, congratulations.
G'day, Dwayne. Thank you very much. Cheers.
It's an important time for the club. I mean, it's an important game for you, the milestone, but there's a bit on for the club this week.
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously, I'd like to have a good game and a nice win for my 250th, but it's very important. For the footy club, obviously, starting 0-2 wasn't in the plan, but the good thing is we've reviewed it heavily and we don't think we're very far away, just a couple of things that we need to fix up. So hopefully start that this week and take it forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, can I dive into that? What do you think has been going wrong? What do you think you need to fix?
Just a bit of our fundamentals. Our numbers have been pretty good, you know, contested footy, inside 50s, all of those key metrics. We're just not using the footy how we would like. And obviously on the weekend, if you bomb it forward to a team like Geelong with a guy like Tom Stewart, they're going to get the better of you. And that's exactly what they did. So just lowering our eyes. And we've looked at a lot of clips where there were some easy options that we didn't take and we just kicked it forward. So just little things like that. If we can get back to that and being the number one offense team like we were last year, it's going to fix itself pretty quick.
Did they show in the highlights edit, did they show your pass to the guy in row four?
No, it wasn't. Usually one of your blasts is a pretty nice kick, but that was definitely not the right blast on the weekend. That was, I don't know what happened there. I've said I don't reckon I've kicked a ball that bad at training, let alone in game. So, yeah, hopefully that's one and done and that doesn't happen again.
No, you're a sensational kick and you always have been. It's a great club to be involved in, Brodie. You've seen almost the evolution of this club over time as a South Australian. Grew up, you know, I've mentioned it a few times, your family, I think your dad at least, was a Port Adelaide fan. You grew up in Adelaide, so it must be nice to be part of the evolution of this great club.
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, the family home's in Westlake, it's only 5 minutes from the footy club, and to be able to stay home and be around family and friends at such a good club like the Crows for 14 years now has been amazing. And it's been a bit of a roller coaster. We've had some good times and some really bad times, but to be sort of, I guess, through that rebuild now and in a side that is going to be a really good side. It's been great now to be in that other end and can't wait to see what this season brings despite you know, a shaky start.
Have you ever thought of going anywhere? Was there ever a question that you might leave the state? And how much of an assistance to your career has it been to be able to have it in your home state with your family?
Yeah, I don't think I could ever leave. It's as I said, I love the footy club and no doubt there's been some times where the footy club was at a bit of a lull, but I'm so glad I stuck around and have been a part of that rebuild. I really enjoyed, you know, giving time to the younger guys and seeing them progress. And, you know, while it was a tough couple of years being down the bottom of the ladder, as I said, we're now in a spot where we can, you know, push for finals and be a really good side. So, yeah, I'm stoked that I've been a one club player and I wouldn't have it any other way.
And it was, you were early on in the draft as well. There was a few clubs you could have, I mean, the Gold Coast had the pick before you. Was there ever a thought that they might have grabbed you in that pick that they grabbed Seb Tape?
No, it's an interesting one. The Gold Coast, it was the Gold Coast draft, my draft, so they had a heap of picks.
Yeah.
But I just got that feeling that they didn't like me for whatever reason. So I was pretty confident that I wasn't going to go there. And I actually saw one of their recruiters on a plane a few years ago, and he said, "We just thought you were too skinny." So, which was a fair assessment. I was all skin and bone when I got to the footy club, but Crows and then Port showed the most interest, and they were a couple picks later, which, as you mentioned, I think Dad was begging that the Crows would let me go to Port Adelaide. But I'm stoked with how it's all panned out. It's been a great time at the footy club, and hopefully a couple more years with some success to go.
Yeah, I think they had eight. Oh, well, I'm actually having a look at it now. They had eight of the first 14 picks or first 13 picks before you were taken pick 14 by the Adelaide Crows. So, yeah, it was there for the taking. They could have had you. Matthew Nix, the re-signing, did you always know that was going to happen? And did you feel at any stage over summer like there was some pressure to maybe wait for a full season and leave him with the pressure on him all year?
Not really. No, I'm glad that we've signed him. I think it's the right decision. And, you know, if you look at the progression since the rebuild and obviously 0-13 and how, I guess, bad we were going in 2020, every year's got better and better to the point where, you know, last year we were right there and should have played finals. So we've come a long way, and he's obviously been a massive part of that, and turning the culture around and making it a really enjoyable place to come to work and to try and get better. And a number of good coaches around him as well. I really like all the assistant coaches we've got in place. Everyone plays their role and is really important to what we're doing. So I think we're in a really good spot at the moment. And as I said, it's obviously been a shaky start with 0-2, but we know that we can turn it around really quick and have a good season.
Do you think you need to change much? I've talked a bit about your midfield rotation pre-season. I talked about it, and I think they took a quote of mine saying that I think you need to put guys like Rankin in there a bit more often. But what are your thoughts on midfield rotations and running more guys through there? And who do you think will be in your midfield by the end of the year?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something we'll look at doing. And I think throughout the pre-season, Rankin did a number of CB, and he was really good in there. So obviously Maddie's on fire. Laird does what Laird always does. And then Dorse is, you know, our best player through there as well. So those three will definitely be in the mix. And then if we can start to add Rankin, Rochelle, Pedler, Shawnee when he gets back, it's going to be a really dangerous look for us. But no doubt, I think you need to mix it up a little bit. You can't have the same guys in there every stoppage. But I think the three guys I mentioned, you know, Crouch, Dawson and Laird are so good in there that if you can just have two and maybe rotate one through, I think it's going to work pretty well for us.
And I won't mention your age, but is it easier to have longevity these days with the amount of knowledge there is in the world of diet and recovery, etc.?
Yeah, I guess so. I think that's probably some of the stuff I try to pass on to these younger guys. And I mentioned during the week that when I first got to the footy club, the older guys were saying, you know, it goes by pretty quick and take every opportunity you can. And I was the young guy going, yeah. But now it's... I'm definitely passing that message on to the young guys just to make the most of every moment they get. We've got all the help we can possibly have here at the footy club with staff that help us out. So there's no excuse not to give yourself every opportunity at a good career.
Great to have you, Brody. Congratulations again on game 250. And did you catch a little look at Freo? Have you done your look at Freo yet? Do you do that as a team, or are you a watcher of footy anyway?
We're about to go into a meeting right now to suss that out. So we'll name our right side, and then we'll have a look at their side.
All right. Give us a call after if you can. I wouldn't mind putting that to air.
No worries.
Well, why don't you leave your phone on accidentally as you go in? We'll just let it go all go to air, the hour meeting.
Well, that's one way to get fired pretty quick.
Great to have you, Brody. We'll talk to you all soon. Right. Brody Smith, Adelaide Star defender in game 250 this weekend. We better let him go into that meeting. 1-300-736-736 is the open line number. 1-300-736-736. The great debate after the break coming your way. If you want to jump on the open line, it's brought to us by Werribee Kia. And the great debate is for titanium caravans built tough to tackle Australia's harshest conditions. Make your next caravan a titanium. I wouldn't mind asking you something that got lost in the wash a bit yesterday was the pitch invader, if you like. How long do pitch invaders deserve? According to Bucks, he said life was an option. Kane said 10 years yesterday. Travis Old, I had on the program late last week before the F1, I asked about the pit walk tradition that's been ended. It had to come to its end because the security risk of idiots jumping the fence and going on the track early. So they had to end that at the F1 Grand Prix this year when it's been such a beautiful tradition to allow fans to walk the track. But it seems as if the one or two crazy people are wrecking it for the rest of us. And we did have a few calls last week about there being way too much security at the MCG these days, walking up and down the aisles and even stopping you from, or distracting you from watching the footy and blocking your vision of the footy. But it seems like venues like the MCG now have to put on extra security because we've got the threat of a protester or a pitch invader, and, you know, no need to go through what happened on the Westgate here in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. So 1300 736 736, as a deterrent, what do they need to do in Adelaide to let the rest of the world know that pitch invaders are either going to get banned for life or 10 years or a decent fine, not one that all his mates can chip together in and actually ends up costing about $500 amongst your group of mates? 1300 736 736. A couple of calls on that. Sammy Edmonds going to join us in about 20 minutes' time to tell us what might be the fine that's coming the way of the pitch invader, amongst other news. But your calls on the great debate for Titanium Caravans next.
On-deck business loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Like, kind of disappointing. Like, he's an idiot, really. Like, I can't stand it personally. As an individual, I'm not sure what the punishment would be. I'm sure the AFL will do what they see as fit. But, man, I just can't. I can't have it as a player. And look, I understand that almost every pitch invader is just going to run around like a peanut, get tackled and run off. But the truth is, as a player, you don't really know what this guy is going to do if he's charging at you. You don't know if he's had a few drinks or if he's, you know, you just don't know what he's going to do. So I trust the AFL to deal with it appropriately. But, man, I personally hate it. There's no other way of putting it. It does my head in. Just an idiot.
That was Zach Toohey on SEN's Crunch Time. What is the AFL going to do? Because the AFL does have to hand down a penalty. Is it life? Is it 10 years? What should this pitch invader get as a deterrent for every other sporting event, not just AFL? Because I'm kind of over the pitch invader for sporting events at the moment, because it's, well, maybe there's not as big enough a deterrent as we'd like. Kane and Bucks had this discussion yesterday. I was lost in the wash yesterday. I wanted to get to it yesterday. Didn't get a chance to, but as our great debate for Titanium Caravans, Australian-made luxury off-road caravans, I wouldn't mind your thoughts. Should the AFL hand down a lifetime ban, or is 10 years enough? Here's Kane and Bucks yesterday.
10 years, I reckon, yeah. would sit okay with me. He's going to be a lot more mature when he's 32 rather than 22, and do we punish someone for life for that? As serious as it was, I think 10 years sends a pretty strong message.
Yeah, well, I think it needs to be stronger. It needs to be
life. Full on.
Well, in the end, yeah, why not? Why not? The blokes, everyone that goes along is privileged to go along. It's not a
not the first streaker, though. Right. I'm with
no,
you
I
on
understand
it's serious,
that.
But we had streakers.
No, I think
before.
As soon as it's involved with actual the play and the players, I think be strong. I mean, we can't mitigate against idiots and poor decisions. You can't have, if you had security guards to watch every square inch of the boundary to stop people getting on, we'd end up having like a UFC cage. It's the only way to stop people getting on. But I thought, I mean, worst case scenario is, you know, remember what happened to Monica Seles?
Yep.
Like, so someone jumps the fence there and like that's absolutely, that's devastating. And you can't have the risk of that. And there should be no tolerance for it at all.
Your calls, a couple of your calls, 1300 736 736, the open line number brought to us by Werribee Kia for a little bit more midday madness. 1300 736 736, Werribee Kia with the biggest ever EV sale on now. Hayden in Rosebud, back to the calls. Welcome to you, Hayden. Thanks for holding. You want to talk about something else?
Yeah, Pop, I had an idea just before. I don't break for Bulldogs, so I wouldn't know how long Jack McRae's got left on his contract. But if he wanted to leave, what are your thoughts on Collingwood picking him up? That way he could play in the middle with his brother and he can help replace a side bottom or a Pendlebury.
Yeah, so you're going to have a couple of players retire soon, Hayden, aren't you? You're going to have a wingman side bottom. You're going to have a midfielder / defender in Pendlebury who's probably going to retire as well. So who's going to move into the midfield or into that wing spot? Nick Dacos is the obvious choice. Josh Dacos has one wing. So you could play Jack McRae either in the middle or off a wing as well, couldn't you? If there's not another automatic choice to put in there with that experience with Degoe and co?
Yeah, that's right. And he can teach Flynn as well. But because he's a ball magnet, he can help get it out to the likes of Degoe, Crisp for a couple more years. Yeah, I reckon it'll be all right.
Hold the line, Hayden. You've been holding for a while. You've got 18 holes of golf for you and a mate with a cart down at Club Mandalay. 18 holes of golf for two with drinks and a cart midweek for just $99. Visit clubmandalay.com.au. Still a few things to give away for Midday Madness today. One here, give them life. You don't accidentally run on. You plan to go on and have plenty of time to rethink before you run on. Steve in Port Arlington, you got a thought on this? Welcome to you, Steve.
Yeah, how you going, Dwayne?
Good.
My thoughts is a life ban's a bit strong. I mean, with regards to Bucks' comments, I think if somebody's going to do something that serious, a life ban isn't going to mean anything to them. You know, they're a nutcase to begin with. And as far as like a drunken teenager might go for a streak or something like that, I think even 10 years is a bit harsh. I understand they want to stamp it out and it's not a good look, but, you know, I don't think we can go for a life ban, you know.
Do you think a life ban would have been a deterrent for the guy in Adelaide? If he knew that he was going to be banned from the sport for life, he'd never be able to go to a sporting event with his mates again. Do you think he would have done it? In which case, if your answer is yes, wouldn't a life ban be a good idea?
Yeah, I can see that point. But, you know, like as a 18-year-old or a 19-year-old who's maybe had a few drinks and the boys have dared him and you know, he's woken up the next morning going, oh, no, you know, and that's his ban for life. I think that's a bit harsh.
Yeah, I think we've got to be accountable for our decisions these days. I don't want to weigh into the whole, because there's been so many things that have happened in this world that make me think, come on, you do have to be accountable for it. And you don't want a situation, I don't think, where you can do something crazy like this guy did, and then, oh, there's no repercussions. That was all a bit of fun. I was only messing around. I was only tipping milk on people trying to enjoy their day on the Yarra. But it's good to have your thoughts, Steve. Appreciate that. 1-300-736-736 is the open line number. By the way, Travis Alder, who I had on the program last week, at least said that the fan behaviour might be good to the point that we might get the track walk back next year, and we did have an incident-free Grand Prix. So here's Travis Old, boss of the Formula One Grand Prix, on this show last week.
Yeah, I think we've seen that, whether it's racing or tennis with the Australian Open. And so, that, you know, we work closely with Vic Pohl and our security providers to make sure that we're prepared, that at the end of the day, we just want those that are coming along to have a good time. And if anyone's coming along to lessen that experience, then you're not welcome. So it's sort of simple as that for us. Look, I think the answer is that we are renowned throughout the world for having a really good group of friendly, passionate fans. I've got no reason to think that'll change. We feel pretty confident if someone comes along, as I say, to disturb that experience, then we've got the right processes in place to deal with it. It's not occupying too much of my mind. I'm confident with our fans, it'll be a lot of fun.
A little bit of Travis Old last week. Johnny Morabin, you got a thought on this? John, welcome to you.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you?
Good.
That's good. I'm sort of more on against Bucks' lifetime ban. 10 years, you know, the kid was, what, 20-odd? Bit of a foolish thing to do. He turns 30. If we're going to be that hard on that, what about being hard on some of the stuff that happens with the players off the field? The North Melbourne fella just recently had a couple of goes at it. Why didn't he get a lifetime ban? You know, the Melbourne fella now on the drugs charges, lifetime ban. I don't think we can give lifetime bans. Not first up, Dwayne. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you might be right. Lifetime ban might be too hard. Everyone gets a second chance. So, yeah, maybe the lifetime ban is safe for the second chance. John, you might be on the money there. Dylan in Mount Barker has also got a thought on this. Welcome to you.
There you go, mate. I think that a lifetime ban is pointless anyway, because, for example, if I was stupid enough to jump on the field and get a lifetime ban, I'd just get my wife or my friends to buy tickets and I'd be straight in the next game anyway. Nobody would know any difference. So what's that going to do?
Yeah, facial recognition might come in at some stage, Dylan, but it's not there yet. You're right. But then again, there are people that will point you out, maybe. He was here. He was the guy who ran on 3 weeks ago. So could that happen? You'll be embarrassed to the point that you'll get pointed out one day?
Possibly, but yeah, unlikely. 50,000 people. Yep.
Fair enough, Dylan. Good to have your thoughts on it. Jack on the road, you got a thought? Jack, as part of the great debate?
Yes, Wayne, remember back in the medieval days where the town crier used to display the hands in the chains and the head through the hole, and everyone go along and look at... so it'd be shame. Being shamed is the most important thing for a young person. It's humiliation. So if you humiliate them for what they've done, they'll never do it again.
And that might be the case. I mean, there's one here on the milk thrower as well, saying that, well, funny you mentioned the milk on the Yarra, Dwayne. I actually think that is much worse and nastier than a streaker. Yeah, look, maybe the embarrassment is going to be the thing that's going to stop this pitch invader from doing it the next time, not the fine or the suspension that he's going to get. Hey, appreciate your call. Take a break. Sammy Edmonds not far away. Take your calls on some other stuff as well. It's Midday Matters. You call, you get on. Anything in the water sport you'd like to discuss. But that was the great debate for Titanium Caravans. The 40 Winks Temper text, 0433 98 11 16, if you want to send through a text or jump on that open line, 1300 736 736. On the Barclays Smokehouse lunch agenda after two, James Rowbottom from the Sydney Swans, Dean Vickerman, Melbourne United coach, and Simon Hill to talk the world game. You're with Dwayne's World.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Some text coming through. Everyone's got short memories. It was only just over a year ago that that peanut jumped the fence in the soccer game with Tom Glover. Absolutely, I'm with you on that. That was a horrible look. Hey, Pipe, pitch invaders are a shocking look for the game. 10-year ban, first offence. Life ban, second offence, as they obviously didn't learn from their 10-year ban. Cheers, Catter. Another one here. You're missing the point of the pitch invader. He is a TikToker, doesn't care about footy or a ban. No matter how long, he will upload his phone video to TikTok and get monetized when it's viewed millions of times. And I love the fame it brings. Lifetime ban and 50,000 fine minimum. Thank you for that one here. You're usually pretty modern, Dwayne, but you reek of old man here. Thank you. Maybe I do reek of old man with my length of suspension that I think is appropriate. Bashir on the road. Welcome to you, Bashir.
Yeah, hi, mate. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, mate, I was going to say, look, absolutely, mate, life ban, because, look, we don't want to become like those South American countries or in Europe where they have to separate the crowd, where they have to, you know, put around a fence or a barrier. You know, it's a beautiful game where we can sit, you know, enjoy the game from anywhere. And I think anyone who does that should get a life ban, mate, that, you know.
Appreciate your thoughts on it, Bashir. We've got a few calls on it. Mark and Q, welcome to you, Mark.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. I was surprised that we haven't got anybody suggesting the death penalty. This is going on a little bit too far, I think. I mean, the kid that ran onto the ground in Adelaide there, he's 20, all right? 5-year ban, and you reckon he'd be regretful of it in 5 years' time? I'm sure he would. If he's a football lover, he'd want to be coming back on the ground, as in coming to the games, I'm saying. 5 years is long enough. I mean, anything ridiculous saying that a life ban. He's 20 years of age. He's a kid. He will grow up.
Appreciate your call, Mark. Hold the line. We've got something for you from the prize cabinet as well. Appreciate the fact that you're holding for a while. 1-300-736-736 is the number. You're heading down to Club Mandalay on us. Pipe. Unauthorised access to the field of play at Optus Stadium carries a $10,000 fine and a 3-year ban. That's just from the stadium, not including any other penalty levelled by the AFL. That's from Jason. And that's the essence here. The Adelaide Oval has its parameters that it can fine and ban by, but the AFL is going to make its own call here. So that's what we're all waiting to see. What is the AFL's call on this? Pitch invader should be banned for life. Heaven, he could have stabbed a player roaming around. And that's the extreme example of what we're worried about, obviously. 30 days in jail, no court, no appeal, just 30 days. Brett and Bacchus Marsh, that's an extreme penalty. Pitch invaders also get charged for trespassing. Adam, thank you for that. And a couple have come through on Brody Smith, by the way. Hey, Dwayne, so impressed with the players you interview. Great discussion with Brody. Love hearing from the interstate players who don't get much press here in Melbourne. Susan, Brody's got a great personality. And again, Nick Larkey was a ripper yesterday. Great to have him on. James Rowbottom joining us a little bit later on today. And George Wardlaw, the rising star for the round, to join us tomorrow. Sammy Edmonds going to join us after the break. Keep your texts coming. Keep your calls coming. 0433 98 11 16 is the number. One here on the text from John. Dwayne, surely you have more self-respect than to consider what you do to be just clickbait. Some of us are above the business bottle you described that reduces football, as with other areas of life, to just a series of curated events that have no meaning outside of their ability to drive traffic and revenue. Best wishes, John and St Kilda. And that's a very thought-through text, John, and I appreciate it. One thing about clickbait is that it's also, it is part of what we do to an extent that we talk about on this show or on radio in general and on TV what we do. We do do what is going to be popular and going to get watched. No good doing a radio show no one listens to. No good doing a TV show no one's going to watch. So we do default to what is interesting to the majority. I might watch a lot of NFL, but do I actually talk about it over and over on this show? No, then it becomes self-indulgent. But we also, what we also don't do is talk about all sports equally on this show. So should I be talking about hockey? Should I be talking about track and field and equestrian? We also don't talk about all sports equally. We default to what's popular, and the AFL is popular. So maybe that's clickbait in itself. But the beauty of this program is that I don't have to make the choice. It's Midday Madness. You call, you get on. You often make the choice for me as to what we talk about. And quite often it's not just Collingwood and a clickbait story to get the calls going, because the calls are always there at a midday hello, and it makes my job easy and it makes my job a hell of a lot of fun knowing I've got you to talk to every day. So thanks to all of you who've taken the time to call through on Midday Madness again today. 1300 736 736 the number.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Approval in as quickly as 2 hours. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
As I mentioned, I get a wide range of texts come through. Some I don't read. Well, I read them all, but some I don't read out, obviously. It's funny when you get a number of texts about the same thing, which is something that you don't even notice. But it seems like the World Series paintball ads are getting noticed at the moment by those on the text. I appreciate Tim from Surrey Hills. So bad it's good, according to Tim in Surrey Hills. Andy, not so excited about the new World Series paintball ads, but I appreciate it, and I'm sure they're going to be really happy that it's getting the cut through and they're getting noticed. Just on the clickbait side of things, American sports media are the same. They talk Dallas Cowboys and LA Lakers regardless of how they're going. Both teams have a huge fan base. That's from Jim. On one here on Margaret, and Margaret having her own show. Don't forget Mark from the Limestone Coast, Dwayne, John from Epping, Chris from Camberwell, Margaret from Sunbury, best quartet since the Beatles. That's from Susan. Maybe we should give them all their own show. I agree with that. It would be a bit of fun. Sammy Edmund, he has his own show, and he's I think he's going to be doing some big, big filling shifts coming, but we'll keep that to ourselves. From a cafe, coffee, ketchup, Macca's, new surprise fries. Peel any medium or large fries for a chance to find a prize. Sammy, it's good to have you on my show whilst I've got you. Welcome
great to be with you, Dwayne. I hope the day's treated you well. And yeah, the 40 winks temper ticking over big. Yeah. Have you been paintballing, by the way, Pop?
I have. That's quite fun. I haven't been to World Series paintball, but I must have to go and have a look. No. Do you think the people who wrote the ad are going to be there for us to shoot?
Oh, I'm not aware of the ad, so I'm naive to the commercial, but I'm going to have to give it a listen.
Yeah, well, it'll catch your ear at some stage, and you'll think that's what they were talking about. Right. A lot of people are talking about Collingwood at the moment. Yeah. Call it clickbait or not, but they're the reigning premiers. They've got the biggest supporter base in the country, and they're a story, and they're a story after their presser again today.
They are always a story, as Jim said there. Maybe they are the Dallas Cowboys of the AFL. So just on the Pies, who were staring down the barrel of Zippin' 4, of course. What a massive game. This is a massive game anyway, Easter Thursday. It's Brisbane's biggest home game of the year. Now with so much on the line, they could go Zippin' 3. The Pies could go Zippin' 4. And to think this was last year's 2 grand final team. So Darcy Cameron has gastro. He didn't train today, for some personnel news there. Dwayne Steele, Sidebottom, Tom Mitchell, Lockie Schultz all wore the opposition white Guernsey in match sim. So make of that what you will. It might not mean anything. It might mean everything. The coach, Craig McRae, did speak this morning. He did make mention of the challenges of preparing for a third game in 12 days. He didn't guarantee Steele, Sidebottom and co would play, but he did at the same time speak of backing in those that have achieved so much success as Collingwood. So it's hard to see him not backing them in again, despite the concerns. He said last week more closely resembled who they are, Dwayne, but as you're about to hear here, Craig McRae also spoke of the little blunders that cost them against the Saints.
Lapses. You know, I said after the game, it doesn't take much. You know, a couple of centre bounce clearances here and, you know, pressure ratings down a little bit here and, you know, efficiency here and there, and here we are. So, we're getting busy. I keep saying it every week, but it's a great place to work when you come in with a highly motivated group that just want to get better.
So we'll just whip through the best of Craig McRae here, Dwayne, because I mentioned the high-stakes scenario confronting Collingwood. To think that they could be zipping four, and if they were, then does that mean they can't win the premiership? Does it mean they can't make the eight? He discussed where his side found themselves ahead of a massive game against last year's fellow grand finalist, Brisbane.
Now, most things in life that you have adversity, you're better for it. We're living a bit of that now. I'm sure we'll be better for it, and this is a great challenge, an exciting challenge. I think we're going to enjoy gritting our teeth and go up and see what we get.
They're going to grit their teeth, and so's Darcy Moore. He said, look, his captain is a little bit off. He admitted as much of what he's capable of, but was working as hard as anyone to turn it around, certainly not on his own. And, Dwayne, speaking of things that light up off the text, I'm not sure how much traction you've got on this today. Craig McRae did respond to Caroline Wilson's criticism that he was too me after the loss to the Saints. And Caro said he just didn't pay anywhere near enough credit to St Kilda. Well, this is Craig McRae's reply.
Caroline Wilson, she spoke about your...
You watch a lot of footage shows, don't you?
I'm dialed in, Craig. No, yeah. She spoke about your post-match presser after the game.
Was it good or bad? I don't know.
She said you didn't speak much, you didn't give much credit to the opposition.
Oh, that's... Well, can I do that now then? Because I... Yeah, and who was it that said this?
Caroline.
Yeah, Caroline, I apologise, because that's something I really want to do. I want to be humble and gracious, and if I didn't give St Kilda enough credit, I should have, because that's... That's a good observation.
Look, it might have been on the mark. I'm not sure what the listeners think. It might have been a mountain out of a molehill, but regardless of all that, the hand was up this morning.
It'd be nice to have a segment like that. Everyone watches the Arrow.
Yeah, they don't miss it, do they?
No, and it's a beautiful thing when you've got that kind of forum, and Caro uses it pretty well. So much to get to, so little time. Yep. Collingwood do have, I mean, when you talk about their run of games, they've got Hawthorn in round four, then they've got a bye, then they've got Port Adelaide who are going okay. Then they've got Essendon Anzac Day, and then they've got Carlton at the MCG. So they do. It's not like it opens up and becomes a bit easier for them. It's going to be an interesting one. This is going to be a story all year, Collingwood. Well,
this is your lot as the Premier. You get given a tough fixture by virtue of the fact of where you finished, of course. So yeah, they will be a watch. Fresh from saying Tom Stewart might have put together the best first 150 games in the history of the game, Geelong coach Chris Scott today, Dwayne, has hailed this week's milestone man down at the Cattery. That, of course, is Tom Hawkins. And he called him one of the greatest forwards of his generation ahead of the veterans' 350th game. And it's hard to argue with either, to be honest. Hawk is now 35, preparing for game 350, Easter Monday against Hawthorn, coming off that match-turning four-goal performance against Adelaide, of course. And come Monday, Dwayne, he'll move to within five matches of his good mate and his longtime legendary captain, Joel Selwood, and the game's record he has at Geelong, which is set at 355. Incredible.
They're not taking Joel Selwood's name off that stand, are they? No. And replacing it with Tom's.
It's a bit late for that, isn't it? Right, but okay. He's coming for that mark. He's going to pass it, of course. And to think he's only had two coaches in his 18-season career, how many players would be jealous of that? He started in 2011 after Mark Thompson exited at the end of 2010. That's Chris Scott. So 786 goals, three flags, a Coleman, a best and fairest, five times an All-Australian, including once as captain. So a lot of questions today down there about his future, Dwayne, of course, and when he might hang them up and what he might choose to do. He parked all that for now. But, geez, so much has happened in this guy's career. You'll remember the real father-son pressure at the start, the goal-kicking yips early on, then more serious things like the back injury that threatened his career, the death of his mum, Jennifer, in 2015. He's come through all of that and more to post an unbelievable resume. And, look, he's just a bloody good bloke, isn't he, Tom Hawkins?
Well, there's something extra special about a father-son who, and his father was a much-loved. I mean, he had a lot of friends and family in the area, so his father was a much-loved player, Jumpin' Jack. And when Tom was recruited, Geelong still had the premiership drought going from 63. So he came to the club still with that pressure of, will we ever win a flag? I mean, Geelong was a bit like St Kilda fans are now. Will we ever win one?
Mm.
And he's been part of this generation that's changed the world, really. And he is up there with, well, Gary Ablett Sr. and Doug Wade are the other two guys that have kicked the amount of goals that he's kicked roughly. And he's going to be the game's record holder. His resume is going to hold up pretty well over time. I reckon he's almost going to get better the longer he's retired when we look back on how consistent he was. But it's still hard to believe he's never kicked more than eight. For a superstar goal kicker, I wish he had had the 13 game or the 12 goal game. It would have been nice if he had that to look back on. He's just been so damn consistent.
Yeah, yeah. And turning matches right up until last week, as I say. So yeah, he's looked after himself. Peter Wright, that case at 5:15. Finally, we can hopefully put that to bed. Max King, I don't know how Max pulled the short straw to come up second. 6:30. Hopefully for him it is 6:30. So big night at the Tribunal tonight, of course. And Hawthorn mediation, well, it's on as yes, we speak at the moment in Melbourne, Dwayne, with Chris Fagan today and also Alistair Clarkson today. And Clark has to hang around for another day of this tomorrow. This is Cyril Rioli. This is Jermaine Miller-Lewis. This is Carl Peterson, their partners as well, in an attempt to find some form of resolution as part of the conciliation process with the Human Rights Commission. Dwayne,
yeah, fingers crossed with that. Hey, any contract news, anything to leave us with?
Sam Durham, 4-year deal for him. That is a good result for him. So he's locked in the red and black until the end of 2028. And Tom Powell, I like the look of Tom Powell down at North Melbourne. A 2-year contract extension for him, taking, of course, pick 13 in the 2020 draft. So a nice re-signing at Essendon and North Melbourne today.
And one here suggesting that the Imar ad is yours, that you got sucked into singing that at one stage.
I must admit, I'm going to have to start listening a bit more closely to these commercials that we have on the station, Dwayne, because I am naive to the realities here. But well, Imar are a magnificent brand.
Magnificent. You want to sing it to the break at all? Or?
No, I think it's on file. Probably don't need to repeat it.
Good to have you, Sammy. Always great to have a chat to you. By the way, our tribunal updates for Arnold, Thomas and Becker. Talk to a lawyer and start your no-win, no-fee claim today. Injured? Call Arnold, Thomas and Becker, 1-300-333-300. And Sammy joining us for McDonald's. The Macca's new surprise fries, turning fries into prizes. One here from Brett as well, sending through about pitch invaders. Back in the Coliseum days, did they have any pitch invaders? No, that's probably the days when they didn't have too many. Appreciate your text. Back with more after the break. You're with Dwayne's World.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Funding possible the same business day. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Midday Madness Rapid Fire. You called, you get on all the way to the 2 o'clock news. You'll have to be quick right now as part of Rapid Fire. 1-300-736-7360. Midday Madness number. Dwayne Ward for On Deck Business Loans up to $250,000. Mark and Sydenham, Sam and Kilo Downs will come to you first for Rapid Fire. Welcome to you, Mark.
G'day, Dwayne. I've got a comment and then I've got three questions for you. The comment is the Swans were 0-6 and made finals. So people writing Collingwood off are doing it at their peril. First question, the Peter Wright incident, AFL umpire didn't pay a free kick. Did the AFL comment on it on Monday? Comment on it. The second question, what do you think Peter Wright should be, what his penalty should be? And the third question is, how do you feel about the send-off rule?
Firstly, no, the AFL didn't address it, but umpires do make mistakes. I think he'll get three, and I think he should have attempted a mark, and he stopped attempting the mark and braced for contact, which you can't do anymore. And am I a fan of the standoff rule? Yes, for extreme cases like the Jimmy Webster, Jai Simpkin one, where it's cut and dried. But when it's not as cut and dried, and it would be difficult for an in-the-grandstand umpire to make a decision on the spot in 5 minutes, I'm against it. So no, if I was in the bunker, I wouldn't have sent Peter Wright off in that instance if it was a grand final.
Okay, thanks, Dwayne.
Appreciate your call, Mark. Hopefully I answered all of those and satisfied at least a couple of them. Sam and Kilo Downs. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Dwayne. This mate, Caroline Wilson should give herself an arrow. Craig McRae can only answer the questions that are put to him. Now, if you have a look at every other press conference, how many of the nine losing coaches will say, well, the other team, they were just too good for us, they were brilliant. But supporters would like to hear how Craig McRae thinks where we lost the game. So I think to complain about him not praising St Kilda is a load of waffle.
Great to have your call, Sam. Oda have a 30-second segment that is watched by as many people as Caro's arrow is watched by. There's been a lot on the text today, and she's a ripper. Certainly gets me watching footy classified, but I'm a footy tragic, so I watch them all. I watch 360, I watch on the couch. Footy Furnace is a new one, so I'll be watching a bit of that now. I'll be listening to James Rowbottom after the break. He's joining us after the 2 o'clock news. Thanks to all of your calls for Midday Madness on that Werribee Kia open line. Still plenty to come on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu. James Rowbottom from the Swans as we continue our fallout from the Essendon Edge weekend. Dean Vickerman, Melbourne United coach, and we'll have a chat to Simon Hill about the World Game.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have you company for Dwayne's World. We'll be back to your calls very shortly on 1300 736 736. The open line number 1300 736 736. But a chance to have a chat to Sydney Swans star midfielder thanks to rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts. James Rowbottom's been good enough to join us for a chat. James, welcome to the program. Great to have you on.
Thank you very much, Dwayne.
We're still talking about the fallout from the weekend. How have you pulled up personally, firstly?
Yeah, no dramas at all. Ready to go again for this week.
And how has Harry Cunningham pulled up? What's the latest there?
Yeah, he's okay. He's recovering well. He'll take the appropriate steps according to the concussion protocol, but he's up and moving well, and he feels pretty good.
And the Essendon Edge, did it get spoken about in your rooms pre-game, given that Essendon threw it out mid-week?
Not really. Obviously, contests and games over the last few years have always been tight and heavily contested, so we're generally expecting a pretty hot start, and that's what we got. And then, it was pretty pleasing that we were able to play our round of footy for four quarters.
Yeah, so it sounds as if it did get, well, at least you knew about the Essendon Edge statement being thrown out pre-game, even if it didn't get highlighted on the whiteboard?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, stuff like that you're made aware of, but it's nothing. Didn't really change any of the way we prepared for the game, and it was just sort of an added incentive, I guess. And then for us to come out and finish the way we did was really pleasing.
Yeah, I might be putting two and two together here and getting five, so tell me, shoot me down if you like, but it seemed like your mantra was, we're going to be harder for longer.
I think we kind of focus on that sort of every week as a kind of strength of ours, and I think in the first couple of rounds we've been able to show that we've been relatively able to run out games and continue playing a brand of footy that's desirable for longer than the opposition so far. So I think it didn't matter whether it was Essendon or any other team in the comp, but it was pleasing that we were able to do that.
I haven't spoken to you on this show for a while. One thing we talk about is drafts quite a bit and, you know, whether teams got it right or got it wrong. And we talk about whether it takes 4 years to get to know a player, to give a player 4 years in the system to try and work out what kind of player they are, as opposed to jumping, you know, 3 weeks into his career or even a year into his career. You were 2018 draft, the year of Sam Walsh and Isaac Rankin and Connor Rosie, which was a draft that kind of had a few guys hit the big time really early. Was it tough for you early on?
I don't know if you'd say tough, but I think our draft in general has been, for the club, I mean, that year had the likes of Nick Blakey, myself, Justin McInerney, Sam Wicks and Hayden McLean, who are all regulars in the team at the moment, and have played a fair chunk of footy together, which has been really pleasing. I think we were fortunate enough with circumstances that fell our way, and we had a lot of experience walk out the door at the end of sort of that 2019 season, and gave us all an opportunity to play some early footy. And I think we're finding that sort of success now, and the fact we've been able to play so much footy together, it's paying dividends.
Yeah, which pretty much answers the question I was going to ask you next, because we've seen, I mean, Geelong's won flags off the back of a couple of good recruiting years, and that was a good draft for you guys. As you mentioned, you were picked 25. You got Nick Blakey as part of your academy, but Justin McInerney as well in that draft. So it does take a little bit of time for some players to have the impact, but it takes a bit for chemistry as well for a group to come through.
Yeah, I think the chemistry is sort of the main thing that we kind of look to, and at the start of the pre-season, we touched on as a group internally that although we're may not be the most mature list age-wise. We've actually played a fair chunk of footy together, and we know our each other's strengths and weaknesses very well, and we're able to help each other through certain situations. And I think we're showing that at the start this season.
John Longmire's been around forever. He seems to be able to reinvent himself.
He's incredible horse. He's even reinvented himself since I've been here, and this is only my sixth year. So he's been incredible for a lot of the boys. And as I said before, since when a lot of those experienced boys have retired and since moved on, he's been able to adapt and change and change to a new form of coaching and help a lot younger of a list. And he's as I said, he's incredible, and I love playing under him.
I think a lot of the guys who know John would know that he seems like, he's always been a really honest guy up front. There's no barrier between him and the people he's talking to. He does put a barrier up when he does media interviews. I've got to throw that in. But when you're actually talking to him face-to-face, there is no barrier. He just seems like a normal human being.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of his great strengths is his honesty and connection that he's built with the players over, as you said, the many years that he's been at the footy club. And it's the same with all the staff and the coaches and the environment that him and the other executives at the club have been able to build over such a long period of time is, real testament to them and the way, as we said, the way he's been able to change.
Loaded question here, James. You've got this unfair advantage of having the academy. You get all these good academy kids and they're coming through and they're making it tough for everybody else.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? Having blokes like Nick Blakey and Braden Campbell and Errol Goulden come through. I'm not going to complain whilst I'm playing with them because it's incredible to see the talent that we've been able to get through the academy. But, as I said, they're amazing to play with, and I'm pretty thankful for it.
You've also got a reputation of making players out of players who couldn't get a game at other clubs. Brodie Grundy's one. Hayden McLean's a good example. Everybody could have had Hayden.
Yeah, exactly. As we've seen this year, Brodie's been crucial for us in the first couple of weeks, and hopefully for the remainder of the year and years to come. He's in massive impact on our midfield group, and he's had a really positive impact since he's walked through the doors, and on Hayden as well, as I said, in our draft. To see him really go into that next level and as a key forward and a backup ruck has been very impressive and really love playing with him.
So how much is it down to Brodie Grundy's brilliance that your midfield is almost the best in the comp right now? You have added Isaac Heaney, you're in there, you got Errol, you got a couple of good young guns. Is it Brodie Grundy's tap work or is it just the grunt work of you guys on the end of it?
I think it's a combination of everything. I think it's been a fair few years since we've had a ruck of the sort of the tap caliber of Brodie. So we're able to get on the move a bit more and we look a bit more dynamic whilst we still have that grunt that we've always had. We're able to give oppositions different looks rather than trying to negate them purely. So that's been a massive benefit for us since he's got here. And I think it's just allow players like Chad and Errol and Heans to play their natural game, which, as they've shown in the first few weeks, can be very damaging.
And how real is selection pressure? We know you've got Mills and Parker coming back. Adams will come back at some stage. How important is selection pressure, or depth at least?
Yeah, we speak about it most years, but the depth of the list is always crucial. You're never going to be fully fit and healthy for a whole season, so you genuinely need a fair chunk of players to be able to play their role each and every week. And yeah, as you said, to have blokes like Parksy, Millsy, Tay still to come into this side, it's a great problem to have, especially when we can put ourselves in positions like we are in now.
Are you a big footy watcher? Have you watched Richmond's last couple of weeks?
I watched the opening game. I don't think I watched it on the weekend. But I generally watch a couple of games of footy when I can after our game, which has been good.
What have you made of Richmond this year? They're kind of a whole new team. If you haven't seen them this year, you can't go on this year based on what you've seen of them last year in a way.
Yeah, they've obviously got a few new players that have come through in terms of debutants and looks like Sam Naismith, who was at the Swans for a lot of years and be able to come through. But I think as a midfield sort of element, they're still very strong through there and have a lot of good players that are able to spin the wheels through there. So it'll obviously be another challenge at their home ground on the weekend.
But it's nice to play the MCG. You guys seem to love it there.
Yeah, we do. It's great going down to the MCG, and obviously with that South Melbourne connection, we generally get a lot of support turn up to the MCG, as we did last week against Collingwood. It's fantastic to see so many people turn up and support us when we play down there.
Are you going to keep walking to the ground together? Is that going to be something that will be part of every home game or not?
We're not sure yet, to be honest. It's a pretty cool atmosphere walking from our the Royal Hall of Industries down towards the SCG. And as we get to our gate before we go in, the faithful are there cheering us on. It's a pretty good energy that it gives, and it gets the people to the game a lot earlier and builds a good atmosphere at the SCG where we love playing in front of our home crowd. So I'm not sure yet, but it's been good so far.
That's another massive advantage you've got over everybody else. You've got the best facility in the land right next door to your venue, and you get to walk there. It's a crazy advantage. Surely we'll take that away from you.
I'm not sure about that. It was a long time in the making to get that facility underway, and to see it come to fruition the last few years has been absolutely incredible. And yeah, everyone's pretty lucky, as you said, to have a facility of that echelon, I guess, and so close to our home ground. It's been really impressive.
Is every session at Tramways next door, or do you get to run on the SCG and have a session there occasionally?
Yeah, we do one session a week usually on the SCG before we play there for a home game. So we do a main session there before we play there. But other than that, we are on Tramway, which is, again, very fortunate enough to have a training oval all in the same vicinity. It's very fortunate.
And one last question I'd rather not have to ask, but you have had a drug indiscretion in your club in the last week that happened over the off-season. Do you deal with that as a whole club? Do you get together as a whole club and deal with that?
Not as a whole club, not yet. We've spoken about it as a group, and obviously it's unfortunate, but it's not really for me to discuss, as I'm not privy to too much information. Mm. But other than that, yeah, we touched on it briefly, and that was about it.
Yeah, and you just look after the club to design the process behind it. But is it reinforcement, I suppose, of you're a footballer 24 hours a day for 365 days a year?
Yeah, I think so. I think if that's the message that you're going to take out of it, and a few other off-field instances that's been occurring over the last couple of months, it's definitely that, and that you're an example for not only other players in the club, but also people in public. And you've got to be, as you said, on 24/7 and giving your best.
Great to have you, James. Good luck this week. I think you've got your 100th coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, in a few weeks. It's still a couple of weeks away, so won't look too far ahead, but it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, early congratulations on that. You've been a ripper, and keep on keeping on. We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much, mate. Appreciate having me.
James Rowbottom from the Sydney Swans. For RJ Sanderson and Associates, accountants and taxation specialists, take the stress out of tax. News just in, St Kilda has confirmed that Brad Crouch will miss 6 to 8 weeks after requiring an arthroscopic or a scope on his knee. So some bad news coming out of St Kilda there, and have had a couple of injury issues lately. Dean Vickham and Melbourne United coach is going to join us next. You're with Dwayne 12.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Had an enormous amount of text come through, so thanks to all of you for taking the time to text. One here, hi Dwayne, you caught the Suns game. What did you make of Ned Moyle in the ruck and Jed Walters up forward? Jed reminded me a bit of Charlie Curnow. Yeah, Jed's going to be a good player. I think we all know that, but I don't think any team's got as big a discrepancy between their number one ruck and their number two ruck as the Suns have with Ned Moyle and Jarrod Witts. Big loss having Witts out, especially against someone of the quality of Tim English. So thanks for your text on that. Dean Vickerman's been good enough to join me. Melbourne United coach. Probably the last thing he wanted to do this morning was have a chat on radio about what went wrong on the weekend. But I appreciate your time, Dean. Thanks for coming on the show. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
How many times have you watched it back?
Well, I think any time you pick up your phone, you kind of see that shot a fair bit. But, we did a lot of good things and keep putting ourselves in winning positions the last two games, and we've just got to close them out.
So do you look at the positives? Do you reinforce them this week in the lead-up to Thursday and not go so hard on the negatives? Because there are so many positives. I mean, you've had two games won, you've lost.
Yeah, and I think down there, obviously we were up 15, but you know, they made their run back, and yeah, to have you know, the ball with down one with 33 seconds and an out of bounds play down there, and so we should have got two possessions to try and win it, and then the other night really just to, you know, get the ball in bounds a couple of times and shoot some free throws, and we should have won it. So, you know, we're really close, but I think our review today, we just went through our defense, and you know, there are a lot of errors that we still made. So I think if we can, you know, tidy that up, and a lot of those are, you know, recognizing three-point shooters, they shot it well, but we allowed them to, and you know, just how we box out, they got too many extra possessions.
So, yeah, they shot it at 48% from three, you shot it at 37%. Is that one big flaw? Is that a stat that you do look at and say, we've got to fix that?
It's more about the volume, you know. You know, I think when we've played well against them, we've kind of limited them to probably around 20 attempts from three. So, yeah, means the ball's buzzing around too much for them if they're shooting 33s, and you know, to make 16 is a big number.
And they beat you by 10 in the rebounds as well, 48-38. Is that an issue for your big men to fix?
Yeah, it's an issue for everybody. You know, possession game in finals is so important. So, you know, both teams took care of the basketball, but you know, they just won themselves extra possessions by, you know, the way that they rebounded. So, yeah, it'll be for us to beat them in game four, you know, we have to turn the tables on the rebounding.
Everyone saw the McVay shot, Dean, but every Melbourne United fan and you and everyone on your bench saw the inbound that Dele had, and he played great. I mean, he got the go-ahead basket. He had 21 points, so he played a great game, and he's a superstar. But what happened? What went wrong on the inbound?
Yeah, I own some of that. You know, the small ball group that we had in the game to finish off with Luke Travers at five and actually, you know, no four guards, no real four man. So, you know, the structure of our inbounds play, you know, wasn't good enough. And so, yeah, people were just in the wrong spots. So, you know, I thought Dele got left with, you know, not a lot of options where, you know, should have been at least four good options for him to throw to. So, yeah, we tidy that one up and, you know, make sure that doesn't never happens again.
So you put your hand up and said what you should have called a timeout, changed who was on the floor because they just fouled you. So it was sort of like an in-play, quickly inbound just fouled.
I had no timeout left. So that was something they just needed to solve on the floor. But yeah, the only way I could have impacted it was to sub and make sure we had, you know, people in there that knew the play a little bit better. But yeah, reflections.
Yeah. Well, then the other thing is, I mean, once the turnover happened, you couldn't get set, so you just rely on your guys to actually get your defensive positions right when it comes to the McVay shot, as opposed to you being able to call a timeout and set everybody up for the last play.
Yeah, he couldn't, no impact there. You know, from the coaching staff, obviously Dele picked him up pretty well, and you know, we weren't in a position. Obviously, there's a, you know, it wasn't the foul bonus. There's all this information to say, you know, what's the foul count? You know, we couldn't make a foul because we were in the bonus. You know, we weren't three up, so you couldn't kind of foul and put them to the line. So it was just play the absolute best defense that you can, contest it to a high level without fouling. And so we actually did a pretty good job of that. He makes a tough shot, you know, one of the big grand final shots in the history of it.
But this is why you're in it, isn't it? To win game four and five and bring it on home under some pressure.
Yeah, you know, we were pretty strong belief coming out of review today, just to say, you know, we made that many defensive errors, and there was, you know, we're just looking at our offensive errors right now that we'll show tomorrow. You know, we did a lot of things well, but we made so many errors that was just one step off. You know, if we can fix those, you know, we certainly believe that, you know, we can win this game down there.
Will it be, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth or, you know, invigorate some sort of rivalry again, but coming from the down that you're in now to beat them down there and then get back to your home floor, it's almost the perfect scenario?
yeah, I don't know. You can spin it however you want. We're down 2-1 and we're going to their place and they have home court advantage. So, you know, if we get the win and we regain home court advantage, I guess that's what we always wanted, in a grand final series is the opportunity to try and win it on your home floor. But lots of work to do before that.
Yep. Enjoy game four, and I'll see you cutting the net down game five. Thanks, Dean.
Appreciate it.
Dean Vickham, the Melbourne United coach. Got some good answers there. Just on, I don't know if you've watched the last 30-odd seconds of that finish. If you haven't watched the whole game, just watch the last 30 seconds. Too small on the floor when Delhi had to have the inbound. So a turnover. Then they don't have a set defence ready to go for the McVeigh shot. And he still hits one of the great shots of NBL history, let's face it. But they've done so much right, Melbourne United, and they've been in winning positions the last two games and just haven't been able to close it out. Up 15 in Tassie a week ago. Great to have your calls, great to have your texts on it. And one text did come through on that exact thing. So thanks to all of you who are out there that have texted through today. Good afternoon, Dwayne. Can you please ask the Melbourne United coach what play they were supposed to run with that side ball in the last 4 seconds? That's Gary. And I did read your text, Gary, and I wanted to find that out as well. What was Matthew Dellavedova supposed to run there with that play? But at least we had Dean Vickerman admitting that he would have had different guys on the floor in a perfect world, and Delhi didn't have the options he should have. A couple of other texts have come through on the crowd invasion as well. Have you seen the stunts idiots do for attention and for cash using platforms? George, I think we've all seen those stunts on YouTube and on TikTok these days, and I think that's the other reason why there's so much security at venues these days. By the way, Gary and Tim's Greyhound, King Eternal, is running today in Geelong, race 5, 4:39. So a short price favourite for your chance to be one of King Eternal's owners for a week and share in his winnings. Be listening to Gary and Tim tomorrow and Thursday from 6 a.m. So King Eternal running a bit later on. Stick around. We've got Lost in the Wash for showers of dog washes and Simon Hill to talk the world game next. Lost in the Wash. If you've got a Lost in the Wash, we should have got to it by now, but haven't got to it yet because we've had too many other things to talk about. Jump on the line and we'll get you on the air right now. 1-300-736-736 is the number. 1-300-736-736. And if you want to send through a text, 0433-98-1116. One here on the text on the basketball and Dean Vickerman's admission that he kind of got it wrong with who was on the floor, even though he had no way of impacting who was on the floor for that Matthew Dellavedova inbound. This drives me insane, Pipe. This is all about United. They make the mistakes. The Jack Jumpers win because of United's errors. Absolute joke. Jack Jumpers are more organised and run the floor better, better coached. But it's not the Jack Jumpers who made it happen. They make the pressure. They own United. Look at the stats for games one between the two. It's Tassie's way. We own them and we are living rent-free in their heads. Thanks for that, JB. I appreciate it. There's a lot coming through from Tasmania. And it's going to be an interesting game four. And if there's a game five at home, you'd think the Melbourne United will be the favourite for that. Lost in the Wash for Showser Dog Washers. Install a Showser into your footy club and start fundraising today. Showser.com.au. Had a few texts earlier on saying that I'm wrong when it comes to the fixturing on Saturday night. One text saying that, well, if it was a blowout game on a Saturday night, I would have hated the fact that there was no second game to watch. But I like the fact that Saturday nights are now one-game nights at the moment. I think it was Lost in the Wash the last couple of days how fantastic it was that Saturday night to have one game on only, Sydney and Essendon, as a blockbuster, and no other games kind of hidden behind it. No Suns v Port Adelaide game in Darwin, or so many Saturday nights we get one lost game. So I'm glad that that's finally been rectified by the AFL, and I think that's been lost in the wash by a few this week in the last couple of days. This Saturday night, there's one game as well. It's Port Adelaide and Melbourne. So it's a blockbuster Saturday night game on its own this Saturday night. The week after, we've got a blockbuster one-off game as well, the Bulldogs and the Cats. So you've got a solo game that Saturday night. Then in round five, we go back to the two Saturday night games for a little bit of it. We've got the Suns and Hawthorn and Port Adelaide and Fremantle against each other. Interestingly enough, Channel 7 in that, well, they get the choice of games on Saturday night. So Channel 7 has chosen the Suns and Hawthorn game ahead of the Port Adelaide and Fremantle game. So I think Seven do always like to have a Melbourne-based team as part of the coverage game that they choose on a Saturday night. So, yeah, whether they do that choice again now, given the way Hawthorn played last week. But it's Suns and Hawthorn on Channel 7 in Round 5 as opposed to Port Adelaide and Fremantle. And I'm more than happy to have that Port Adelaide-Fremantle game on Fox Footy. But the choice of games, I think, and the way the AFL scheduling has been done this year has been fantastic. So congratulations to them on that. Had a few texts as well about the Canecorns, Matthew Richardson, Trent Cotchin, little in-media argument. There's probably nothing more boring than media talking about media, talking about media. So I haven't read those texts out about it, but I think we've got to have a sense of humour, don't we? Channel 7 had the front bar, pure comedy versus serious footy clips. So I enjoyed watching a little bit of what Canecorns did on the Sunday footy show. Let's all have a sense of humour, surely. Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Always great to have your calls and your texts coming through. So many calls coming through. And texts, I haven't read as many out as I'd love to, but keep them coming. 0433 98 11 16 on that text machine for Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, the Temper Pro. Temper's most adaptive mattress ever is here. Temper mattresses like no other. Dwayne's World for on-deck business loans up to $250,000. Simon Hill's been good enough to join us, the host of the Global Game. It's on 8 to 10pm tonight across the SEN network, although tonight he'll be calling the Socceroos and Lebanon, the World Cup qualifier live from Canberra, which you can catch across Network 10 platforms from 7pm tonight. You can catch a bit of pre-game, catch the call with Simon Hill, but the Global Game will also be on tonight. And you can catch the Global Game podcast or more of Simon on SEN platforms as well. It's great to have him and good to have him when there's a hell of a lot of the World Game to talk about. Simon, welcome back. Great to have you back. Thank you.
How are you, Dwayne?
I'm good. I probably got you deep in your prep for tonight, or is it already done? What's going to happen tonight, or how's it unfolding in your eyes?
Yeah, prep's done. About to set off to Canberra. So it's the second of, well, a two-game series, I guess you could call it. This is technically an away game for Australia, would you believe?
Right.
But they're playing in Canberra because obviously the security situation in the Middle East is a bit uncertain at the moment. So AFC have not given Lebanon permission to play the game in Beirut. So it's being played in Canberra tonight, which obviously will suit Australia, and to sell out. So we're looking at a record crowd for a Socceroos game in Canberra, which should be fun.
Yeah, records are records. I know you talked a lot about getting your own venue and playing at various places around Australia is great if it's a designated venue for the World Game. But it is interesting that it's a sellout for you in Canberra. The AFL can't sell out games in Canberra as regularly as they'd like to. So the audience is there. Bring it and we will come.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously the next step for us as a game is to get a men's team in Canberra, which has been mooted for quite some time now. They're going to have to get a move on because obviously preparations are in full swing, not just for the end of this season, but for next season, which will begin later on in the year. We've already got a women's team in the national capital, but we're looking to find new owners for a new men's team and take over the women's team as well. And it's been rumoured for months that they're pretty close to a deal, but as yet it hasn't happened. So it's a costly business, obviously, running professional sports teams. And, all the I's have got to be dotted and the T's have got to be crossed. But they've got to get a bit of a shift on. Otherwise, it's going to be too late for next season.
And I mentioned your prep because it's a little bit of a new look, the Socceroos side tonight.
Well, it could be. I mean, there's going to be at least a couple of players missing from the 11 that started on Thursday. Keanu Backus has picked up a yellow card in that first game. So he's out suspended because that's his second of the group stage. And Riley McGree will be missing because he picked up a foot injury. So he's flown back to be with his club side in England, Middlesbrough. Geordie Boss is not part of the squad as well. He too picked up an injury. So he's back in Belgium with his club side, Westerlo. So there'll be a couple of new faces tonight. But, all in all, Australia have got a better squad, man for man, than Lebanon. But as they proved that last half an hour in Parramatta on Thursday, they're actually a better team, I think, than their results and certainly their FIFA ranking suggests. So they're going to have to be better, I think, Australia tonight. They were okay for an hour, I think, serviceable for 60 minutes on Thursday and got the job done. But they need to be a bit better with the ball, I think, tonight. So we'll see how they go.
So the 1-2-0 in that game you're talking about, what would be the scoreline tonight that would give you a bit of confidence that they got most of the things they needed to get right?
Well, look, it's not just the scoreline. It's the manner of the performance, really. Obviously, you want to win. That's the basics, which we got on Thursday. But you want to see Australia creating a lot of chances and really dominating opponents. And You know, they did that to an extent, as I say, for an hour on Thursday. The last half an hour was a bit sloppy, to be honest. Lebanon came out of their defensive shape, of course, because they were chasing the game. And they caused a few headaches for Australia. So part of that was sloppy turnovers. You know, when you have the ball, you've got to keep it and move your way up the park. And Australia weren't able to do that in the final half an hour. So I think that's one of the things that Graham Arnold would be looking at. But of course, the bottom line is they want the 3 points. And if they get that tonight, then they'll have qualified for the final round of Asian qualifying, which puts them within sight of what will be a sixth consecutive World Cup, which is some achievement for a country where, you know, as we've said many times, we exist basically on the smell of an oily rag.
So tonight, across the Network 10 platform from 7 p.m, A-League-wise, Wellington, Central Coast still top of the pops, but there's a few teams just hovering below that will consider themselves contenders still.
Yeah, well, we've been on this little mini-international break. The domestic league stops when the internationals take centre stage. So the A-League teams have had a week off. They're back to it on Friday as Adelaide entertain Western United. Big game on Saturday between Sydney and the Central Coast Mariners. The Mariners are in second at the moment, 3 points behind Wellington Phoenix, but with a game in hand. So they've got a win to keep up the pressure on the Phoenix, who are at home themselves against Brisbane, which is a game on Sunday, I think. Is it Sunday? Yes, it is Sunday, early kickoff. So, there's an interesting race at the top, but also for the finals positions, and Sydney FC and Western Sydney Wanderers are holding those final two berths, fifth and sixth at the moment. But Melbourne City are only a couple of points behind, and there's only a handful of games to go. So it's approaching that time of the season where, you know, the games really mean even more, which is terrific for fans.
And what was the reaction last week to your editorial on a couple of platforms, including the Global Game and this show here, about the internationals are great when they come here, the EPL sides are great, but not if it's going to take all the publicity and all the money and then nick off in the middle of prime time for the A-League. I don't want to paraphrase you and get it wrong, but your editorial was pretty strong last week.
Yeah, look, it's, you know, it obviously divides opinion. I understand that there are fans of overseas clubs who want to see their team. You know, I support an overseas club as well, but in this country, we've got to put the local game first. And look, I was heartened by the fact that they've announced an All-Stars game, an A-League All-Stars game against Newcastle United. I think that's good that we showcase our local talent. My issue really is having two overseas teams playing against each other in an Australian city. I don't think that does our game much good. But that's only my opinion. And obviously, you know, football is a broad church and people have conflicting opinions on that. Maybe for some, it's the only time in their life they might be able to go and get to see Spurs or Newcastle. I completely get that. But I just feel as though if they come into this country, they should be playing our local teams. And we need to showcase our local talent, perhaps to people who love football but don't necessarily go and watch the A-League. If we're just putting on a showcase for two overseas teams, then, you know, to my mind at least, all we're doing is encouraging them to become fans of those teams and not the local comp. And, you know, that's not good for the health of our A-Leagues.
Good for us to have a platform for you, though, to at least be able to have those debates with people who love sport in general, not just the World Game. Hey, speaking of the team you support overseas, pretty big one coming up. Man City, Arsenal, I think in about 5 days.
Yep, the game's on Sunday. Be the wee small hours, I think, in Australia, Monday morning. So Man City, Arsenal. The table is very tight. Liverpool play Brighton on the same day at home. You'd imagine that they'd win that game. At the moment, it's Arsenal top 64 points with a slightly better goal difference from Liverpool on the same points. And City in third, just a point behind. So it's one of three. This is a massive game for both City and Arsenal. And obviously, with us being at home, you know, we've got to win this game, which would take us above the Gunners and, you know, hopefully put a bit of pressure on Liverpool. But, 10 games to go in England and an exciting finish at the top of the table.
I'll let you get to Canberra, Simon. Great to have a chat to you. We'll talk again next week.
Good on you, Dwayne. Cheers, mate.
Simon Hill, host of the Global Game, 8 till 10pm across the SEN network every week, except the weeks when he's doing his duties for Network 10, which he'll be doing tonight. So Daniel Garb and Alex Brosk will be hosting the Global Game on the SEN network tonight. And again, you can download the podcast anytime you like. Simon joins us every week on this show, always gets the text machine fired up, always gets a few calls as well. People love it when Simon comes on. And it is good that SEN has a platform for those who love the World Game to be able to get a little deeper into it with Simon Hill and his team. The Global Game, you can download the podcast. We'll take a break. Back after it, the Werribee Kia open line, 1300 736 736. Probably won't have time to take your calls after the break, but again, great to have the Werribee Kia team on board. Janan, Aid, Jim and the team, they'd love to see you down at Werribee Kia if you're in the market for a new or used car. Welcome back to Dwayne's World for On Deck Business Loans, up to $250,000. Back for Midday Matters tomorrow, so please put that number in your phone for Midday Matters tomorrow and give us a call, and we'll take your calls on tonight's tribunal. Anything in the world of sport that moves you enough to pick up your phone and dial the number, we will get you on from midday every day. So Midday Matters from 12 till 2 every day, and it's always great having your company. And I mentioned that open line brought to us by Werribee Kia. They've got their biggest ever EV sale on now at Werribee Kia, so you can check out the whole range. This show is driven by Werribee Kia, and the team will look after you down there just like family, so drop in, say hello. You'll find that EV9 down there. You can take it for a test drive that I've been talking about quite a bit since I was stunned by how beautiful and luxurious and how big and settled it is on the road. So book your test drive today for the EV9, but they've got a heap of other brand new Kias on offer down there as well. The 2024 Kia is on offer. At driveway prices include the Picanto for $19,990, which is amazing. $19,990 for a Picanto that you can drive out of the showroom. The Seltos from $39,990 and the 2024 Sorento from $53,990. They've got finance offers as well at Werribee Kia. Top dollar trade-ins. Over 300 late model used cars in stock as well. If you want to peruse the used car lot, they've got a heap of stock down there. So they're at Old Geelong Road, Hoppers Crossing. And be sure to check out that EV9. WerribeeKia.com.au. LMCT114. Ask for them by name. David, Janan, Aid. They are real people down there. If you ask for them, they'll be there. Be a Maverick, strong, fearless and a trailblazer. A big plug for the Mavericks. They've got the Vixens coming up, John Cain Arena. You can get your tickets. They're available now, Sunday, April 14th. So it's looming quick. Tickets available from melbournemavericks.com. To be a Maverick, strong, fearless and a trailblazer. Time to celebrate some lives as well. Thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Happy birthday and a celebration of the great life of Australian tennis champion Renee Stubbs. Happy birthday to AFL players Archie Perkins, who's flying, Taj Woden and Hunter Clark as well. Tobin Brothers Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934. It's all there on the podcast. If you want to download the whole show, it's there as a podcast in its entirety. You can also download the bits and pieces, the little chats that we've had, like our chat with Dean Vickerman earlier today, Melbourne United coach, or any of the chats like our Simon Hill chat that we just had. It's there individually cut up on the podcast, normally about half an hour after I finish. Tomorrow on the show, George Wardlaw, so the rising star for the round. It's been like North Melbourne Membership Week. It was North Melbourne Membership Day yesterday. Nick Larkey's interview, by the way, is on the podcast from yesterday. If I just encourage you to listen to one interview for the last 4 years, it would probably be the Nick Larkey chat from yesterday. He was a ripper. But George Wardlaw joining me tomorrow. Sammy Edwin will join us with the latest news. So please join me tomorrow for Midday Madness at 12. But stick around. Andy and Gazy looking forward to your company next.